You're listening to Tandem Radio, the good news on business. Call our show at 1-800-575-9564 or visit our website at tandemradio.com. Jobs and the economy, the most pressing issues for Americans today. What would 50,000 new jobs and $25 million in grants for new businesses do? TurnUSAround.com has the answers, and you can be part of history as our grassroots movement stimulates the economy. Whether you need a job or want to start a new business, the strength of America depends on the well-being of her people, and quality, thriving businesses creating new high-paying jobs is what we need the most. Join TurnUSAround.com as we help people across the country with goals that include 50,000 new jobs, 2,500 new businesses, and free student scholarships to help young people get the start that they deserve. Join the movement. Become a member and spread the great news. Find jobs, business opportunities, scholarships, and much, much more at our website, TurnUSAround.com, where helping yourself can help others.
There are times in life when everyone needs a caring attorney they can trust. As your lawyer, I will always treat you with the utmost respect, honesty, and care when representing your legal needs. The Law Office of Judith Amorsky handles criminal, municipal, civil, and family matters, business needs, real estate, and estate planning. I also handle debt reduction and bankruptcies. To make an appointment or to speak with me directly, call Judy Amorsky at 732-683-1227 or follow the link to my website at tandemradio.com.
Well, welcome back to Tandem Radio. We're excited to be on the air with our special guest today. And I just want to thank all our sponsors. As you've been listening to the spots at the break, we do appreciate it. And we're excited that we have new sponsors coming up as well. And if you want an opportunity to get involved in the show from that perspective, feel free to go to TandemRadio.com and check out what we have going on. We have another caller coming up in a few minutes and some other things going on that are exciting about the show today. So jot down this number, 800-575-9564. That's 800-575-9564. Lots going on today. We'll do the best we can to get to your questions. But now one of our features is Peter Grandich in his economics segment. Peter?
Right. And Glenn, before I do, I just want to follow up on that August 19th event we were referring to. John Field is my hero. I have to tell you, I've been blessed to be around a lot of athletes. In a few minutes, we're going to be speaking to my all-time hero. But despite all that, John Field and the Feel Good Foundation are really an American hero story in the midst of the biggest, I think, debacle in American history, and that has been the mistreatment of the 9/11 first responders. And this Thursday night in Keyport, we are holding a benefit to raise funds for them. We're really in the 11th hour of this fight, trying to get this bill across the line. We all know what happened a few weeks ago. And the event can be found, more information, feelgoodfoundation.com, and that's F-E-A-L, goodfoundation.com. And I just want to note two special guests, New York Ranger fan favorite Nick Fatiu, and certainly the best NFL 12th man, Faya Mineta, be there. And I'm going to try to hopefully convince our guests that we're going to have on a few minutes on radio to show up, too. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to make note of that. Again, and also you can just email us at Tandem Radio, and yes, we'll send you out the information as well regarding this event. So let me give a brief look at the market since I took some time to talk about this event. Nothing's really changed other than this past week on my blog, which is www.grandich.com. I noted that the stock market now has come in a very technically weak point. There's a good chance that we can have a substantial retreat. I suspect it may not happen until after Labor Day. The main reasons, obviously, is the economy continues to weaken, but also there's going to be more concentration on the upcoming November elections, which I have talked about for over a year, where I think many incumbents, not just Democrats, but incumbents in general, are going to lose their seat, and I think the market is starting to focus on that. The other markets I follow, obviously, is the U.S. dollar. We are in the midst of a little rebound, but we suspect that as we get into 2011, that's going to weaken. And one of the things, and you know, Glenn, you might want to comment on this. You know, this past week, the Fed made an announcement, which many people now view as pushing on the string, that they've literally gotten to the point that the Fed really can't have any more influence. It can only ease so much. We saw Japan do it, and for 20 years, their mirror. And the great concern among everybody, and especially in the small business community, is I don't see the rebound.
Right.
I mean, do you see the rebound?
No, I don't at all. And it's amazing because what's interesting, as you know, I was president of a business association for quite a while, so I interact and network with a lot of business owners. I'm not hearing it. You know, as we talked about in our first show when we had all the politicians on, the Main Street is not feeling it. And I can't believe you're hearing all these little tidbits in the media. They don't mean anything to Main Street. It's incredible because the average business owner is just not feeling that upswing.
And just to close on this segment, and that's been my pet peeve, you know, I've spoken about this. My argument has been that this so-called recovery was not concentrated to the small business person, Glenn. I've talked to you this. I said that the money wasn't being put it where it needs. Small business is the backbone of our economy.
I agree with that.
And they are just being choked to death. And truly, until there's a recovery there, you are not going to see an economic rebound of any size.
That's exactly right. And one of our largest sponsors, you know, Turn US Around, that's what they're all about. And it's true. The small business owner does not get enough focus. And I think that's why we started this show, so that the small to medium-sized business owner will get some attention. And we hope that all that are listening today would tell their friends and tell others to listen. And hopefully we can impact the economy in a huge way by turning it around with starting with the small business. Thanks, Peter. Your segment's always helpful, and I know many people comment on it. We're going to get back to our guests today. We have Bob Munoz and also Judy Amorsky, both attorneys who have offices in Freehold, New Jersey. And you can, again, I just want to mention at tandemradio.com, there are links that will be listed for Bob and also for Judy. And you can always go to our website and click on and get further information about them.
I just say one thing?
Sure.
Judy is much better looking than Bob.
That's why radio is so great.
Right, there you go. I was gonna actually put Judy on the spot and ask her if that makes a difference in the courtroom, but I'm not gonna make her.
It does here.
It does here for sure. Well, we appreciate that, and maybe that's why your face is front and center on your website, Judy. You know, but the next question I want to touch on is, what's the most common legal issue you deal with for a business owner? We talked about before why people come to you and what are some of the problems that they come to you for. But from a real, you know, brass tacks, what is actual legal issues that pop up most often in your practice for a business owner? Judy?
Well, I represent a lot of general contractors and subcontractors. And right now, the biggest thing I see affecting businesses is the at least for some of my clients, is with the real estate fall, basically they're both in situations where there is just no money available. As long as home sales are down, neither party is able to function in their business, either the general contractor or the subcontractor, and it presents a really challenging situation for both of them, which ultimately, until home sales start picking up again, doesn't seem to end. I do notice that when both businesses are properly formed, they are protected in the law, and that's good. But when they're fighting against each other, it also means that until there's relief in the economy, there's not going to be relief at all.
Right, I hear you. And Bob?
I think the panic phone call we get most often is when there's an employee problem. There'll be a claim of an employee with sexual harassment or some other employee problem. They tend to be emergent, and we have to get somebody on them right away. We have a couple lawyers in our office who handle employment issues, and generally I refer them to them. But oftentimes those are big problems. So we have to do, talking about the other stuff we were doing about preventive kind of things, the other thing we do for preventive care for our clients is to suggest proper employee manuals and important policies that they have in place, and that they stick with those policies. And that means not only protecting the employee from another employee, but sometimes that's protecting the employee from a customer or protecting a customer from an employee. So it gets very complicated, and there's a lot of liability and pitfalls for clients out there. And oftentimes we get those calls when the problem is has become emergent.
Well, that's a great point, Bob. I want to make an observation there, because so many small business owners don't have employee agreements or standard operating procedures in place. And when, you know, push comes to shove, they don't have anything to fall back on. It's he said, she said, you said. And I think in a contract agreement where somebody's ambiguous, they're really at the short end of the stick. So I think if an employer doesn't have, at least in what I've seen, if an employer doesn't have a clear employee agreement, a clear SOP, they're really at the mercy of the employee's interpretation when it comes to the legal matter, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So if we can give anybody a tip out there today, any business owner, if you're a small or even medium-sized business owner, if you haven't taken the time, I know you're probably thinking right now, oh, there's another thing I got to do. But if you haven't taken the time, do some research. Get yourself a basic employee agreement and get your employees to sign it. And, you know, it might tell you a lot about your employees if they don't want to sign it, but get them to sign it. Get yourself an SOP in place. So that way, when there is issues about sick days and leave time and pay raises and all that type of thing, then we can we have some basis to go on. And if your attorney does have to get involved, at least you give them something to work with, right?
Could I just add one thing?
Sure.
On the agreement, you have to be very careful with those, too, because employees in New Jersey are employees at will, and you don't want to change them to contract employees. So you have to be very careful. You can have them sign something, but you have to make sure how it's worded so you don't make them contract employees, and then you'll have more problems on your hands.
Mm. Good point. Judy?
Also, business owners want to keep in mind that they want to take proactive steps in looking over their policies before there's an issue. As Bob said, that's the most important thing they can do, even having an attorney review the policies to make sure that they're going to be able to protect themselves in the event of a problem.
Mm. Great point. Great point. Another thing that pops up often, and I've discussed this even with some of my businesses, is the issue of not-for-profit businesses. I think it's 501(c) or something, and you know, companies decide. And what a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of these organizations that we see as charities or non-for-profits, they're really run like a business, and there are is often as many legal issues with those as a for-profit company. And I think people take for granted that when they see the label nonprofit, a lot of things don't apply. Bob, in your experience, not-for-profits, what's your thoughts?
Well, it's not just 501(c)(3)s. That's the charitable organizations.
Okay.
Not-for-profit organizations could be other types of organizations. For example, I was past chairman of the Western Monmouth Chamber of Commerce, and that's a 501(c), I think it's 7 organization, which is it's not a charity, but it's a not-for-profit organization. Mm-hmm. And not-for-profit organizations have to be very careful because they become the object of audit by the IRS recently, because that's an area that the IRS has been looking at. So when you're a 501(c)(3), that's a charity. So you want to be careful which you qualify under, and 501(c)(3)s require certain rulings from the IRS before you qualify.
So an organization like the one I helped to start in Colsec, Colsec Business Association, that would be more of a 501(c)(7)?
Or six, one of those other numbers.
And so it's not a charity, but it's a not-for-profit. But the actual charities would be a 501(c)(3). And they're run differently, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Judy, do you have something real quick that you wanted to comment on not-for-profits?
Yeah, just on not-for-profits, as far as the religious-based not-for-profits, they often deal with a lot of the same issues because they are in buildings and they do have either leases or they're renting or they own, and they have a lot of the same issues. And I find that a lot of complications come in when they're trying to mix the religious world with the legal world, and that can often present a lot of moral issues for them, which have to be worked out in the legal realm and in the moral realm.
Right. So even the pastors and sometimes the elders should be consulting their attorneys and making sure they're on the right track. We've seen a lot of church entities get themselves in trouble often by making mistakes that they could have avoided if they had had the right advice. Now, a church, just real quick, because we're coming up on a break, but churches, I think, even have an extra layer of exemptions as far as filings and all that type of stuff. And I know you're not accountants. I don't want to go in that direction. But churches are even a kind of a unique within the 501 charity segment as well. Any thoughts on that?
Well, if you have a religious organization, it's easier to qualify than it is with other types of organizations.
Great. Well, we're here again with Bob Munoz and Judy Amorsky, both attorneys, with answers to questions that I know business owners need to have. And we'll be back on Tandem Radio Live right after the break with another special guest. So stay tuned.